From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast to Coast AM. Later on tonight, building your psychic abilities. We'll talk about pets and the psychic world as well. Here's what's happening. Known for their extreme brutality, of course, and their use of summary executions, ISIS has reached a new level of evil, with activists reporting that the jihadi militants beheaded two women in Syria for sorcery. It is believed to be the first time ISIS has executed a woman in Syria for crimes of witchcraft and sorcery. Unbelievable. An Indonesian Air Force transport plane carrying military personnel and their families plowed into a residential neighborhood in the country's third largest city shortly after takeoff, killing more than 70 people there. Greece has slipped deeper into financial abyss after the bailout program that it has relied on for 5 years expired at midnight Tuesday, and the country failed to repay a loan due to the International Monetary Fund, deepening fears over whether it will be able to remain in the eurozone. And, of course, that'll have an effect on U.S. stocks here. U.S. consumer confidence, however, strengthened in June, bolstered by an improving jobs market, according to a private sector report that was released on Tuesday. You know, in the past several months, a bevy of studies have added to a growing literature on the mental and physical benefits of spending time outdoors. That includes recent research showing that short breaks spent looking at nature have a rejuvenating effect on the brain, boosting levels of attention, and also that kids who attend schools featuring more greenery fare better on tests. Let's check in with an expert on the brain and author of Tickle Your Amygdala, Neil Slade. Neil, why is that? Why does more greenery kind of kick the brain into a high jump start?
Well, this comes from a new area of study, which is coined the name eco-psychology, and it is the study of the link between our environment and how our brains work. And essentially, it all ties in with the idea that if you give your brain a break and let it give it some downtime, it works better. It's perhaps the way that in some way that you need to defragment your computer, your brain needs to defragment itself as well. There's a way that the brain works, which is called the default mode network. And this occurs when we are at rest or we kind of ramp down from a hectic, busy work schedule. And in the default mode network, remote areas of the brain that are not normally connected suddenly start to work in synchrony. And so it's very important that we take these breaks to allow our brain to rejuvenate and to become, take advantage of this default mode network. And being out in nature allows your brain to naturally do that. It's been found that people who are especially creative make very high use of this default mode network and will do it in natural surroundings. Beethoven is probably the most famous example of this, and he used to go for long walks in the Vienna woods and then come back and write his wonderful symphony.
I love it, Neil. It's exciting. Neil's website, by the way, part of our Twitter feed at coasttocoastam.com. Well, midnight has come and gone in some time zones tonight, as for the first time in 3 years, an extra second is added to the official time set by the atomic clocks. The leap second means that the last minute of June has 61 seconds in it. Leap seconds, leap years are added as basic ways to keep the clock in sync with the Earth and its seasons. Let's check in with astronomer Stephen Cates, Dr. Sky. How cool is that, Stephen? Setting the old clock a little bit by a second or two.
Well, George, it's amazing. We all should be benefiting, of course, with that extra second, but the brief history, as you described before, it's not the problem with the atomic clock, it's the problem with the Earth and its problem of rotation. The cesium atom, as many listeners may know, which is the activity internal to this atomic clock, it only loses about, get a load of this, 1 second over 1.4 million years. But the Earth, George, because of the gravitational effect of the moon, the tides, and all other gravity anomalies on the Earth when we have tsunamis and volcanoes, simply the Earth is slowing down. So this is the 26th time that astronomers have added this particular leap second to the clock. And back in 2012, there were some residual effects that were not so good. Some websites crashed. I know a major airline, an international airline, had their reservations and booking computer go down. So astronomers and scientists and those timekeepers are all looking for ways to maybe get the Earth back into sync. They'll be deciding the future of that coming up in November. But in closing, George, for all of us looking skyward, don't forget, folks, this most magnificent conjunction, George, I hope you've had a chance to see it, and the listeners, this planet, these planets, Venus and Jupiter, within a third of a moon diameter, that was this evening, tonight, and into tomorrow night, we should see it. And it's also Asteroid Day, June the 30th, commemorating the 107th anniversary of the Tunguska explosion in Siberia. Hopefully, George, this gets people to watch the skies, as you and all the listeners do here. On Coast to Coast, our eyes are to the skies.
You make looking up at the skies awfully fun, Stephen. Thank you so much. Up next, we're going to be talking about your health. Critical health news expert Ben Fuchs with us, the pharmacist, next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, I'm George Norrie. Once a month, pharmacist Ben and also Joel Wallach pop up on the show to talk about critical health news, news that's important for you, and we're going to be doing that for the next couple hours with the pharmacist Ben tonight. He is a registered pharmacist, nutritionist. He's a cosmetic chemist as well, compounding custom medications. We turn to him when it's time to talk about over-medicating America, and just to get his views on alternative health. Ben, welcome back.
Thank you, George. Good to talk to you again.
Lots of things I want to talk with you about, but specifically the latest, of course, is this tragic situation in South Carolina, in Charleston, the shooting at that church. What do we know about the suspect who apparently has pled guilty, said that he did it? He was on drugs, wasn't he?
Well, he was apparently, he had a history of using something called Suboxone, which is kind of a combination antidepressant and opiate-like substance that's been associated with all kinds of mood disorders and psychiatric disorders. That's the thing about these drugs, George. You can't target the brain in a specific way to simply eliminate depression or what we call mental illness. You end up with toxicities. You end up with side effects. The brain is a complex system, and really it's iconic of the entire body. You can't drug the body into health. And this is, it's kind of a crazy notion when you think about it. And this is something that pharmacists understand because we study the toxicity of medication. In fact, a large proportion of the curricula of pharmacy school is spent explaining and understanding how side effects work, what side effects are, what adverse reactions are. Almost to the point where, George, adverse reaction or side effects are not side effects. They are the major effects. And that's the whole idea that that's what I talk about when I do my presentation, what we talk about on Critical Health News. And what my message is that the idea of poisoning the body into health, into being healthy, is fraught with danger. And we play that game at our own peril. And what happened with Dylann Roof is the same thing that happens, seems to happen with all the mass murderers and when people go, quote, go postal, as they say, and they shoot people up. And there always seems to be some kind of psychotropic drug that's behind it. You can go to a website called serotoninstories.com, and you'll see story after story after story of aggressive behaviors that are the result of manipulating the brain with chemistry. And the same thing happens to the body. You can't drug the body into submission and expect it to be healthy.
You would think that those chemists and pharmacists who develop these drugs for the big pharma companies would be aware that these drugs have this kind of reaction. Or are they aware, Ben, and they just don't say anything about
it? Well, you know, we live in a corporatocracy, George. You know, our country is run by economics. It's not run by health. And unfortunately, anything that when we try to improve the health of our culture, we've got to run into the wall called finances and economics and profit consideration. And I said before, I'm a capitalist. I don't have any problems with capitalism, but the idea that We can depend on entities, corporate entities, multinational corporate entities who are driven by profits, tremendous profit margins. The idea that we can depend on them to take care of our health, to take care of the health of our families, to help the health of ourselves, to take care of what's important to us, what's most important to us, and that is our health, it doesn't fly. It doesn't make sense. But the point of the whole thing is, George, we can do it ourselves. You know, we can take care of our health issues ourselves. We don't need to depend on an outside authority, whether it's a medical authority or whether it's a pharmaceutical authority or whether it's an insurance company. Now you've got this whole thing with Obamacare, the idea that you can be insured into health. You know, medical care is not health care. Medicine is not health. We can do this ourselves, however, and it doesn't require a lot. You know, it's very simple. There's a really cool book out called Simple Rules, which talks about how you can take a few simple rules and you can cut through all kinds of complexity. In terms of health, it looks like the body is this incredibly complicated system, and in a way it is. You've got 100 trillion different cells. You've got dozens of different structures, organ structures. You've got muscles and you've got bones. You've got all these different working parts, but at the end of the day, all you need to really understand is how to eat correctly, how to breathe correctly, how to drink correctly, and then in a more abstract sense, how to think correctly, how to feel correctly, and somehow how to plug into the force, the spiritual force that runs the universe. And that's pretty much it. The idea of using a prescription drug to try to lower blood pressure when sitting on the couch and practicing deep breathing techniques or taking a hot bath or a hot shower or watching a funny movie, it doesn't make sense when you compare the two. You know, I always tell people if they're on an antihypertensive drug, for example, which are among the most toxic drugs in the entire pharmacopoeia, I always tell people if they're on a antihypertensive drug, sit on the couch, take your blood pressure with a blood pressure cuff, and then spend 2 minutes deep breathing, slow deep breathing, focusing on the exhale, and watch what happens to your blood pressure. You can do the same thing in a hot bath. Take your blood pressure, go sit in a hot tub or a hot bath, take your blood pressure again. These are simple strategies and simple techniques that we can all employ in our lives, not just to eliminate the need for prescription drugs, but to improve the quality of our life and access the healing capabilities and healing powers that are built into the body. You know, every time we cut ourselves, George, we don't have to think about healing our finger. You know, we don't have to think about the collagen fibers winding to the wound or the cut to close the cut. We don't think about the cells coming up, rising to the surface to close the wound. 2 days later, you don't even know you had a cut. This same healing system that occurs in the surface of the skin, surface of the body, is called the epithelia, occurs throughout the body, and it's this healing system that we need to be able to understand how to access, and it's not very difficult to do if we're going to really truly not just be able to eliminate our drugs, but enjoy the quality of life that we all deserve.
We're with pharmacist Ben, criticalhealthnews.com. Ben, but in terms of the blood pressure, for example, after you do those exercises, let's say the slow breathing or you jump in a hot bath, will your blood pressure go back up again later, or how long does it stay at that lower level?
It will go back up again, absolutely. So you've got to keep breathing. You keep practicing your deep breathing techniques. Understand the relaxation response. You know, you were talking to Neil Slate earlier. I was listening while I was on hold.
Yeah.
And Neil has a couple wonderful books, Tickle Your Amygdala and such, and he was talking about downtime in the brain, right?
Yeah.
The body functions maximally when it's rested, when it's relaxed. You've got two nervous systems in the body. The nervous system is the part of the body that turns the outside world into the inside world. It informs the brain what's happening on the outside so the brain can make chemical adjustments. But there's two nervous systems. You've got a stress nervous system, which doctors call the sympathetic nervous system, and you've got a relaxation nervous system, which doctors call the parasympathetic nervous system. Well, almost every single chronic degenerative disease, whether you're talking autoimmunity or cancer or heart disease or hypertension, behind them all, you have an activated sympathetic nervous system, a chronically long-term activated stress response. So common sense and logic tell you if the disease state is marked by this stress response, this chronic long-term activation of stress response, activating the parasympathetic nervous system, the relaxation nervous system, whenever you can, is in your interest. So, yes, for most people, the sympathetic nervous system will kick in because of how we live our lives and how we eat and how we breathe. But if you keep doing it over and over and over again, every minute that you're in this relaxation mode, you're fighting cancer, you're accessing the healing response, you're improving fertility, you're improving virility, you're building muscle, and you're becoming more creative. On the other hand, when you access the other sympathetic nervous system, the stress response, every single thing we hate about being alive, every single thing we hate about our bodies and our health, high blood pressure, cancer, depressed immunity, skin diseases, breakdown in collagen, they all arise subsequent to this long-term activation of the stress nervous system. So yeah, it'll go back up again, absolutely. So you go into the relaxation response again, over and over and over again. Every minute you do, you're accessing your healing powers and anti-aging.
Ben, a little confused from the FDA in terms of what's going on with statin drugs that lower cholesterol levels. I mean, a couple months ago, they came out with a report that said doctors really shouldn't prescribe statin drugs to people who are generally healthy. It's primarily for people who've had heart disease and problems like that. What's going on there? I'm confused.
Well, here's the deal. Statin drugs suppress the production of what is arguably the single most powerful and functional chemical in the body, cholesterol. Cholesterol is a growth substance. It's the difference between a fern plant and a human being, or it's the difference between the vegetable world and the animal world. It's the substance that allows us to move. It's the substance that allows us to think. It's the substance that allows cells to grow. So statin drugs, doctors like using statin drugs because it will suppress the production of cholesterol. Well, cholesterol, because of its association with movement and growth and activity and dynamism and building, statin drugs have multiple roles, multiple potential therapeutic applications. For example, they're thinking about using it for immune diseases, and they're thinking about using it for cancer. Why? Because all of these conditions represent a hyperactive state. And by poisoning cholesterol, the cholesterol system in the body, you suppress this hyperactivity. This is a favorite strategy of medicine. I call it anti-medicine. It suppresses the immune system. It suppresses growth. It suppresses cell division. It suppresses health in the name of health. So now that we know that that cholesterol is not the ultimate bad guy that it was supposed to be, you know, in February, even the government came out and said, oh, well, you don't really have to worry about all the cholesterol that you eat. Well, alternative practitioners understand biochemistry have been saying this for years. Now that cholesterol is not exactly the same kind of bad guy that it used to be, it's being a little less vilified, the drug companies are now looking for other places, other applications for their statin drugs. They've got an investment here. And not to mention the fact that these things are crazy expensive, and they're responsible for a huge part of their sales and a huge part of their income, so they're looking for other places where they can apply statin technology. Because statin drugs suppress cholesterol, they suppress movement, they suppress activity, they suppress dynamism, thus they're looking at trying to use these statin drugs for things like cancer and hyped up immune system, i.e. autoimmune diseases.
Ben, a couple times a week we run your health moments, and we've listened to a number of different of topics that you have talked about over the past several months. They just keep coming, don't they? These various topics, they just don't stop.
Well, there's so many ways that we can apply strategies and technologies and ideas and concepts to having a great life. And ultimately, George, I'm a healthcare professional. I'm a pharmacist. I'm a chemistry geek. I love biochemistry. But ultimately, I want people to be able, and I want myself to be able to access every single strategy and tool I have to having a great life, whether it's a mental strategy or whether it's an emotional strategy, whether it's a spiritual strategy or whether it's a physiologic or biochemical strategy, i.e. food, nutrition, water, and oxygen. And yes, it is endless. There's so many different things that we can do to improve the quality of our lives, to have the longevity that we deserve, to not be sick. And yeah, it is endless, and it doesn't seem to be a bottom to it. I can keep coming up with them, and I will keep coming up with them.
Pharmacist Ben will take your phone calls next hour. Lots of you are calling already, and he'll try to help you with your own situation and your own tips. As you know, Dr. Joel Wallach and Ben Fuchs come on the program once a month to talk about different health-related issues. Where Dr. Wallach, he doesn't hold back, Ben, does he?
Dr. Walker. Well, here's the thing, George. You know, when you've seen these things over and over again, I've seen them for 30 years. Docs have seen them for 50 years. I'm talking about people getting off their medicines. I'm talking about people losing 100 pounds. I'm talking about blood pressure dropping. I'm talking about every single marker of health, whether it's superficial markers like having beautiful skin or serious markers like cancer reversing and heart disease improving and blood pressure dropping. I'm talking every single thing you can imagine in terms of health markers reverse. When you observe this over and over and over and over again, you want to stand on top of the roof and scream it.
Well, you can see it. Ben, hold on. We're going to be back in a moment. CriticalHealthNews.com is Pharmacist Ben's website and his toll-free number where he's got a number of people there standing by to help answer some of your questions. 1-855-949-RADIO. And welcome back to Coast to Coast with Pharmacist Ben, website criticalhealthnews.com. Ben, I've got to tell you, you know, on this program, we deal with all kinds of shows, all different kinds of topics, unusual, paranormal, supernatural, alternative medicine, of course. And when we open up the phone lines on alternative medicine, they are flooded.
Isn't that great?
There are that many people who are, one, interested in this,
yes,
but two, have some issues and problems, don't
both.
They?
You hit the nail on the head, George. Once again, it's both. People are just fed up with the medical model. It doesn't work. We're the most doctorized and medicalized culture in the history of mankind and simultaneously the sickest. And so people just are finally dawning on people, perhaps not the majority people, but enough people that the medical model's not working and there has to be a better way. And George, everything I talked about just now, how the healing system is accessed through the parasympathetic or the relaxation nervous system, how there's a built-in healing system, how you can't poison your way to health. Did I say anything that didn't make sense? Did I say anything that's hard to understand? Did I say anything that's not commonsensical to the average person? When the average person hears these ideas, it's like, it's basically a no-brainer. You know, we talk about all the time that all disease is cell disease. Well, all disease is cell disease, but all cell disease is blood disease. Doctors will tell you that if you have a condition called sepsis, perhaps you've heard of it.
That's an infection, right?
Right. It's a blood infection, right? They tell you, if you have a condition called sepsis, you're going to be in the ICU, and it's life-threatening, and there's a good likelihood that you're not going to make it if you don't have medical care, because sepsis is dirty blood. The Bible says the blood is the life, and for good reason, because once the blood becomes dirty, we are off to the disease races, and if it becomes dirty enough, we're dead, and that's what sepsis is. But what's not recognized by the medical model is, and this is commonsensical, George, sepsis occurs on a continuum. It is progressive. It starts off unnoticeable, imperceptible, and over the course of time, our blood gets dirtier and dirtier and dirtier. Cells become less able to get their nutrients, less able to be breathed, less able to be detoxified. This is all secondary to dirty blood, and this is where disease begins. The only question we need to ask if we want to get healthy, from a physical perspective, now I'm not addressing the emotional and the spiritual and the mental aspects, but from a physical perspective, what is getting into our bodies? What is getting into our system that's activating the sympathetic stress response? And when I say into the system, I mean into the blood. And because there's only three main routes of entry into the blood, George, through the skin and through the nose, and through the mouth, it's now narrowed down. The cause of all disease is now narrowed down. If you understand, all disease is cell disease, and all cell disease is blood disease. I'm talking arthritis, I'm talking cancer, I'm talking heart disease, I'm talking autoimmune disease, I'm talking about everything. If you understand that it's all cellular, it follows dirty blood, and there's only three routes of administration into the blood, the skin and the nose and the mouth, we have now narrowed the causes of disease to three main areas. And if you understand that the skin is hardly ever breached, with the exception now of vaccinations, mm-hmm, and injections, or if you're an IV drug user, or maybe you have a severe burn, and if you understand that it's rare that anything enters into the blood through the nose and on a chronic basis, then you know you're dealing with a mouth issue, a food issue, and a digestive issue. And it only makes sense because for eons, this is where we interfaced with the outside world. Once the digestive system breaks down, stuff gets into the blood, we're off to the disease races, and there isn't a single thing that the medical model can do. They will tell you there's no cure. And what they mean is there's nothing the medical model can do. But if you understand that the dirty blood, which is causing the disease, is coming in through foods and through digestion and how we're processing foods, and we talked about probiotics and good bacteria, we understand that we have a vast area where we can control the processes of the disease processes as it comes through, as it develops, or the healing process if we so desire.
In the old days, I remember Western movies, if somebody got bitten by a snake, people would slice it with a knife, where the snake bit you, and then they would suck the blood out and then spit it. What were they doing there? And how come the guy who sucked it out never got sick?
He was spitting it out. He was making sure he was spitting it out. But the thing is, the venom had to get in the blood. When you spit it out, you're not getting the venom into the blood. In order for venom to be effective, it has to penetrate through the skin and enter into the bloodstream. Now, if he ate enough of the venom, that could be problematic.
That could get you, yeah.
Right, but what he was doing was cleaning the blood. And so keeping the blood clean is a must. When the blood becomes dirty, emergency results. You know, blood clotting, I like to read the pharmacy magazines, the trade journals. I always want to see what the drug companies are thinking. What's coming up, the business aspect of it. And I remember a couple years ago, I was reading an article about how excited the drug companies were about the new blood-thinning drugs. Because we have an epidemic of blood coagulation, blood clotting. Nothing, George, says dirty blood more clearly and more loudly than blood clotting and blood coagulation. Nothing says emergency more clearly and more loudly than blood coagulation and blood clotting. And this is what happens. Once this happens, this is how the disease process ensues. Once the blood becomes unable to deliver nutrients, once the blood becomes unable to deliver oxygen, and once the blood becomes unable to remove toxicity, disease ensues. And even worse than that, George, there's a very interesting thing that happens when minerals circulate in fluid. You know how they tell you to get out of the pool when there's lightning, or get out of
right.
the ocean, right?
Exactly. So, or don't stand under a tree.
Or don't stand under a tree. In the pool, a lot of times people will think that it has to do with the water. Well, it's not the water. Water doesn't really conduct electricity very well. It's the minerals in the water. The combination of minerals and fluid creates an electrical charge. And when that water is moving, that charge is amplified.
That's
and
right.
In fact, it's called a zeta potential. Well, once, and this is one of the ways the body electrifies itself, is through the movement of fluids. It's called fluid dynamics. Or hemodynamics in the
you're
body.
You're like you're an electrolyte.
Well, the electrolytes carry the electrical, they're called electrolytes because they carry the electrical charge through the blood and through the lymphatic system. And the lymphatic system is almost like an extension of the blood. Once the blood and the lymphatic system become clogged from foods, from problems processing foods, from leaky gut syndrome, they call it, digestion problems, etc., the lymphatic system and the blood start to clog. They don't deliver the nutrients. They don't deliver the oxygen. They don't detoxify. And the zeta potential, or the electrical charge that's generated, starts to become suppressed. Can you see how the disease state ensues, George?
Yeah.
From this point forward, it's a no-brainer. And the cell, which is what we're talking about at the end of the day, is the cell, is this incredible living being that is producing 10 million chemical reactions a second, George. It's this little being that's 1/100th the size of a head of a pin, a typical cell, but it has 6 feet of DNA in it and millions of working parts in it and compartments where different things are happening and substructures to the tune of tens of thousands, maybe even hundreds of thousands. And this little entity requires energy. It requires oxygen. It requires detoxification. And what we've done is, George, we've created a culture, an entire society that has, if it was trying to figure out how to poison the cell, it couldn't have done a better job. From everything from the food we're eating, to the water we're drinking, to the air we're breathing, to the thoughts we're thinking, everything in our culture is designed to suppress the health of this unbelievable entity that we should all be so in awe of, it just drops us to our knees in slack-jawed amazement to even contemplate.
You know, with, is it radionics that purify
yes.
your blood system
yes.
with
yes.
some kind of electrical system?
Yes.
How does that work?
It works by adjusting the frequencies, changing the frequencies of cells and of structures in the body to the healthy frequency. It turns out, he realized that cancer and disease states have a certain electrical frequency, and he figured out that if he could change the electrical frequency in certain areas to a healthy frequency state, he could could allow health to ensue, allow the body to become healthy. We know cancer cells channel electricity at a completely different rate than normal cells. Health at the end of the day, George, is an electrical phenomenon. The body uses chemistry as to modulate and control the electricity of the body. We're electrical beings first and foremost. Then we're chemical beings.
Albert Abrahams. He's the guy who invented radionics.
Okay.
And but he was laughed at because people scoff at things that are innovative,
right.
Don't they?
Science progresses funeral by funeral. Have you ever heard that? Science.
Yep, I sure have. Why is it in other areas, Mexico, you know, Guatemala, areas like that, you can get away with alternative medicine much more than you can
because
here?
Because their corporate infrastructure is not as well developed, probably, I'm guessing. You know, we have a very finely tuned corporatocracy here, where the system has had 200 years or at least 150 years of evolving. And it's pretty, you know, corporations run this country. They run the world, but they really run this country. So I say, when I say corporatocracy, it's not a democracy, it's not a republic, it's a corporatocracy.
Your website, criticalhealthnews.com, where you give a lot of information about stuff for people. And your toll-free number, Ben, is what? Get that out again.
855-949-7234. 855-949-7234. 7234, criticalhealthnews.com.
Now, the people on the other end, they're not doctors, but they're pretty darn good at recommending things, aren't they?
Really good at recommending things. And they're like myself. They want to help people, and they're lovers of humanity. And that's really, at the end of the day, George, that's what it's about. It's about human beings at the other end of the equation. You know, when we talk about chemistry and we talk about drugs and we talk about pharmacy and we talk about medicine, we don't want to lose sight of the fact that at the other end of the equation, there's somebody suffering. There's somebody in pain. There's somebody that doesn't need to be suffering and doesn't need to be pain. And nothing, George, gives you more a greater sense of gratification, a greater joy for being alive than to help somebody. We all like to help somebody. You ever ask somebody for directions? You get out of the car to ask somebody for directions, and it's like they can't wait to help you. Right? Have you ever noticed this?
People like to do things.
They love to help. Why? Because when you help somebody, you activate your parasympathetic nervous system. When you help somebody and you're not in a defensive mode, in a fear mode, you're in a relaxation mode, you're anti-aging. So serving somebody is one of the healthiest things you could do. You know, they give. You know what they do for veterans who come back from Iraq? They give them the PTSD guys, the people who have anxiety issues and PTSD from, or they give them dogs, you know? Why do they give them dogs? Because when you help somebody, your anxiety goes down, especially when you help somebody innocent, like a dog or a pet. They do studies on pets in nursing homes, right? These are the kind of health strategies we're talking about. What would you rather do, take a toxic pharmaceutical drug or pet a cat?
I'd rather pet a cat.
Right, exactly.
So when you look at all the things that you've been looking at over the last, gosh, how many years you've been doing this, Ben?
30. Well, I graduated pharmacy school in 86, so 29 years.
29 years. Yeah. What do you feel as if might be the most important thing to recommend to people in terms of their health? Watch their weight, blood pressure, what is it?
Those are on top. Those are secondary. And weight's a great issue because people, that's one of the things people really focus on. Every single problem, even if it's weight gain, occurs secondary to the stress response. Secondary to an inability to handle the ups and downs, the vicissitudes of life. And then as we become less able to handle it, you get this downward spiral. See, the digestive system, the absorption system, the nutrient system, the way we get sustained, shuts down when we're under stress, when we're freaked out. That's why we have an epidemic of constipation, okay? Because people are in this stress mode. Everything about the digestive tract shuts down when we're under stress. Well, one of the things that happens is we won't lose weight when we're under stress. So if you want to boil it down, George, you ever hear that saying, why do angels fly? Because they take things lightly.
Panic attacks, Ben. Tell me about panic
oxygen.
Attacks.
Oxygen. Before a panic, you want to experience a panic attack, George? I don't know if you do, but if you in the
you know, I had one. Let me tell you what happened to me in the moment we have here. Years ago, I sprained my back, and they wanted to give me an MRI, and they didn't have these donut-shaped ones where your head's sticking out of the hole, which is great.
Right.
It was a tube.
Oh my gosh, that was the old days.
And they wheel you into this tube that is 2 inches from your nose. Oh, you're on your back, and they give you a little alarm to hold, and they say, if you panic, squeeze it, and we'll pull you out.
Right.
Well, that gets you going all by itself.
Right. Exactly.
So I'm in there for 20 minutes, and they're saying, you don't move, so try to stay still for 20 minutes, not moving, not flinching. It's almost impossible. And then you're in this tube that's 2 inches from your nose. And I mean, it's like being in a coffin.
Right, exactly.
And I go through the 20 minutes, and I'm going, great, I'm out of this thing. And she said, oh, you must have flinched. You must have moved. We got to do it again. So they push me back into this thing. And 2 minutes in, I couldn't take it anymore, Ben. That was it for me. And
was
I mean,
it a panic attack?
It was a panic attack.
Yeah.
I'm going absolutely crazy.
Yeah,
so
yeah. Well,
I hit the alarm and they pull me out. So your turn now.
Here's what you do. Before panic attacks, and I always tell people, if you want to experience one, if your girlfriend or boyfriend or husband or wife or somebody you know has one, you want to experience it, hold your breath. The ultimate panic is associated with suffocation. And before you have a panic attack, you will notice you're holding your breath. And so relaxing the breath is the key, the ultimate way to activate the parasympathetic nervous system, the relaxation nervous system, to lighten up. Focusing on, and by the way, it's on the exhale where the relaxation response goes. Because when you get surprised, you hold your breath. You go like this, like that. And then what happens when you say it's a big surprise or it's fake out or whatever it is, you go, right?
Mm-hmm.
Anything that makes you go, even just going, will activate the parasympathetic nervous system. Just sighing will do it. So when you're using your deep breathing techniques, focus on the exhale. It's better to give than receive. So focus on the exhale. Focus on putting out. You inhale, and by the way, you can, if you're falling asleep when you're driving or you need to stay up, you do the opposite. You focus on the inhale and you breathe quickly. You get lots of inhales compared to your exhales and you wake up. But if you want to relax and you want to activate the relaxation response and you want to be more creative, and by the way, for fertility and for sexuality, George, before any of that stuff, before you're making a baby, for example, you know, fertility issues are a big problem. Before you're making a baby, relax, take a hot bath, lighten up, massage, whatever, activate the parasympathetic nervous system. They say the way to a man's heart is through his stomach, right? Well, after you eat, you're relaxed. You've activated the parasympathetic nervous system, the rest and digest nervous system. That's why people intuitively take naps after meals.
Does the panic attack, though, originate in the brain?
Yes, the brain it's a cycle. First, the brain reads the chemistry, and then it says it makes up a reason. The brain's very fascinating. It makes up reasons for things. So it'll sense the chemistry, and it'll say, oh, there must be an emergency here. It'll read, it's constantly reading the blood for the oxygen levels. So you can activate the panic response through chemistry activating the brain, and because the brain is such an amazing organ, the brain can do it on its own. It can just think about something and activate a panic attack. Like when you're claustrophobic, like in the tube you were describing.
In the tube.
At the end of the day, there's nothing really wrong with being in a tube. It's in the brain. The brain says, I'm being squished. Right? It's a brain
phenomenon. You can't move. You've got to be still. You know, you're uptight in this thing.
It's a brain deal. Yes, it's all in the brain. So learning to control, we've been talking physiology and biochemistry, which I love, but learning to hack into the brain, to control the brain, very, very important part of being healthy and being whole.
Well, it was amazing because then a week later, I'm in a plane and I'm sitting down in my seat before we take off, and you look down the plane, and what does it look like? A tube.
No.
A long tube.
Did it trigger it?
It was starting to trigger it again, but thank God it didn't last long.
It
went away pretty fast.
That's the brain.
Scary stuff. Ben's website again, criticalhealthnews.com, and the toll-free number, 1-855-949-RADIO, 1-855-949-7234. And I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to take phone calls with Ben the entire next hour. He's been with us. He'll be with us for 2 hours here. And he'll give you some techniques and some thoughts and some things that you could. And I got to tell you, Ben, the internet has been fantastic for, I don't want to say self-diagnosis, but it really has helped people.
I love Google,
that's
man.
Right.
I'm so smart. If you're a data junkie or even if you're not, but you do have to wade through it a little bit, you know? Information, you know, it's almost like you have to be a warrior, an information type of warrior where you're cutting through with a machete, you know, kind of cutting the weeds. You know what
I'm
saying?
That's right. You got to know what to do. We're going to be back in a moment with your calls and Ben Fuchs on Coast to Coast AM.